The vanguard had already passed the archway, and the Major was only a few steps away from it when four of the stormtroopers abruptly blew up. Quite spectacularly, too. The simultaneous flashes of yellow-white fire lit up the landscape to almost painful intensity. The thunderclap of multiple detonations nearly knocked Luke over. The sound was still ringing in his ears when the blasters opened up behind them. The stormtroopers were good, all right. There was no panic that Luke could detect, no sudden freezing in astonishment or indecision. They were moving into combat position almost before the blaster fire had begun. Those already at the archway hugging close to the stone pillars to return covering fire, the rest moving quickly to join them. Above the sound of the blasters, he could hear the increased whine of the speeder bikes kicking into high speed. Overhead, he caught just a glimpse of the chariot assault vehicle swiveling around to face the unseen attackers. And then, an armored hand caught him under each armpit, and suddenly he was being hauled toward the archway. A few seconds later, he was dumped unceremoniously in the narrow gap between the two pillars supporting the north side of the arch. Mara was already crouched there. A second later, two more stormtroopers tossed Han in to join them. Four of the Imperials moved into position over them, using the pillars for cover as they began returning fire. Struggling to his knees, Luke leaned out for a look. Out in the fire zone, looking small and helpless amid the deadly horizontal hail of blaster fire, R2 was rolling toward them as fast as his little wheels would carry him.
"I think we're in trouble," Han muttered in his ear. "Not to mention Lando and the others."
"It's not over yet," Luke told him tightly. "Just stick close. How are you at causing distractions?"
"Terrific," Han said,
and to Luke's surprise, he brought his hands out from behind his back, the chain and manacles he'd been wearing hanging loosely from his left wrist.
"Trick cuffs," he grunted,
pulling a concealed strip of metal from the inside of the open cuff and probing at Luke's restraints.
"I hope this thing...
The pressure on Luke's wrist was suddenly gone. The cuffs opened and dropped to the ground.
"You ready for your distraction?"
Han asked, taking the loose end of his chain in his free hand. "Hang on a minute," Luke told him, looking up. Most of the speeder bikes had taken refuge under the arch, looking like some strange species of giant birds hiding from a storm as they hovered close to the stone, their laser cannons spitting toward the surrounding houses. In front of them, and just below their line of fire, the chariot had swiveled parallel to the arch and was coming down. Once it was on the ground... A hand gripped Luke's arm, fingernails digging hard into the skin. "Whatever you're going to do, do it!" Mara hissed viciously. "If the chariot gets down, you'll never get them out from cover." "I know," Luke nodded. "I'm counting on it." The chariot settled smoothly to the ground directly in front of the arch, blocking the last of the attackers' firing vectors. Crouched at the window, Abe swore violently. "Well, there's your Jedi for you," he bit out. "You got any other great ideas, Calrissian?" Lando swallowed hard.
"We've just got to give it..."
He never finished the sentence. From the arch, a blaster bolt glanced off the window frame, and suddenly Lando's upper arm flashed with pain. The shock sent him stumbling backward, just as a second shot blew apart the whole section of the frame, driving wooden splinters and chunks of masonry like shrapnel across his chest and arm. He hit the floor, landing hard enough to see stars. Blinking, gritting his teeth against the pain, he looked up, to find Aves leaning over him. Lando looked up into the other's face. "I won't forget this," Aves had said, no more than 3 minutes ago. And from the look on his face, he wasn't anticipating any need to hold that memory for much longer.
"He'll come through," Lando whispered through the pain. "He will."
But he could tell that Aves wasn't listening. And down deep, Lando couldn't blame him. Lando Calrissian, the professional gambler, had gambled one last time, and he'd lost. And the debt from that gamble, the last in a long line of such debts, had come due.